Welcome to the Draw Doctors Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody, and welcome to Lockdown 2 Electric Boogaloo. Victoria's back on lockdown, and we are absolutely stuffed. As the only Victorian in lockdown here on the pod, I can just say thank fuck for football, because I would have completely lost my mind already. No Stevie Fears again this week, but we do have the great man in Tasmania who is free to go down to his local Bunnings and grab a snag. It is the Statesman. Welcome.
Yes, I decided to have a salad-free weekend, so my idea was to go and get some KFC on Saturday night for a real special treat. I just didn't realise how expensive it had become. So there you go, no KFC for me, a snag at Bunnings and a salad chaser. But that's been my weekend.
Fair enough. And he is all the way up in Queensland, where it is actually pissing down rain for the first time since God knows when. It is Cam McLaughlin. Welcome.
Yeah, g'day, guys. I'll tell you what, though, that is just showing your age there, Stato. I remember back in my day, you could get a two-piece feed for five dickety two. Whatever you'd say.
I was referring to the $26,000 fine someone got for a party pack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, only two suburbs up from where I live decided to have a birthday party and 20 value packs. Good stuff. Well done. We are going to get right into it this week, talking all things round six waivers and what we noticed throughout the weekend. And Cam, you're going to kick it off between what you saw between the Cats and the Lions.
Yeah, a couple of injuries to the likes of Mitch Duncan and Quinton Narkle would have left a few coaches fuming, and it's not exactly a great start to your weekend when you have a midfielder injury on a Thursday. But it's the impact around the ground that was actually really interesting, with Sam Simpson taking on a significantly higher responsibility and Brandon Parfitt only playing 62% game time. With the potential for a lot of games to be played over the next few weeks, the Cats' midfield depth could be a real asset to Chris Scott, but an absolute fantasy nightmare to fantasy coaches, with the likes of Constable, Fogarty, Guthrie, Jordan Clark, all likely to get time in the coming weeks, and the time on ground of staples like Duncan, Selwood, Danger, Ablett, Menegola to be the victim of variance. They play the Pies this Thursday, so I doubt they'll do anything to stir the pot, but after then, all bets are off. A combination that's been working well for Brisbane over the last 2 years has been Mitch Robinson and Hugh McCluggage on the wings. Both went down in this game, with Robbo suffering a pretty severe corky and Clugger a shoulder stinger. Even though Clugger fought through it, I'd hesitate to say he's not a lock for next week to play. Johnny, you've got a comment?
Yeah, with Robbo going off, did that give Rayner more time on the wing?
Yes, it did. So Cam Rayner spent a lot more time on the wing, and he had a great score this week as well. So I'd look for, if Robbo or McCluggage do miss next week, I'd look for Cam Rayner or maybe Zach Bailey to spend a little bit more time up and around those wings. The third and final thing, a bit of a trend is starting to emerge with opposition forwards and defenders versus the Cats, and it's not a good one. A look at defenders over the last 3 weeks shows the highest scoring defender for each opposition has been 51 for Melbourne's Christian Salem, 55 for Jack Bowes, and 47 for Grant Birchall, making it close to prohibitive to play defenders versus Geelong. A look at the forwards tells a similar story as well, with 42 for Jake Melksham, 55 for Ainsworth, and 77 for Rayner. That's the highest, right? But we know, like we've just talked about, that Rayner was actually spending a lot of time on the wing, and so he had a lot more disposals and tackles to supplement his two goals when he was playing forward. If you take that Rayner score out and say that he was a winger in that game, the highest forward score was Eric Hipwood on 44.
Ooh.
Yeah, the Cats face the Pies this week. It could be a completely different story given the Pies' fantasy pedigree, but I'd be benching forwards and defenders and looping them in if they score well, given the game is on a Thursday.
Oh, wow.
Fair enough. All right, I checked out the Hawks and the Pies, and pretty early on, it just seemed like it was bruise-free football where no one was laying a tackle, especially the big boys like your Mitchells, your O'Meara's, and your Warples. I was keeping a track of it, and something at half-time, quarter-time, it was 14 to 17 tackles. Now, looking at the average tackles, Hawthorn were up last year in the top four or five, and if you take the 20% discount, they're actually still on track for the average now to about 51 a game. So it was pretty interesting. I think it was more Collingwood just running the ball, and Hawthorn didn't have time to tackle him. Wingard, he was severely affected, playing a lot of time up forward. So a lot of people who own him would have been crapping, pulling their hair out because he's been in pretty good form. Big boy McAvoy started off in defence, and actually the Hawks defenders were pretty good against Pies. You had big boy McAvoy have a good game. James Sicily and I think Morrison also had a good game, especially for your super coach format. So defenders versus the Pies could be a thing. So what Cam said, the Cats are playing the Pies next week, so maybe even look to roll Cats defenders against the Pies, that your College Jasneys, your Harry Taylor types through there as well. And both coaches, I noticed throughout the game, were trying players in different positions. Saw Tom Scully roll forward for about a quarter and a half, two quarters. And also Jaden Stevenson, he was pushing up on the ball, a little bit behind the ball. So it got me thinking whether, we don't know the situation here in Victoria, if people come back to Victoria, some players, that then they might need to do the old Luke Beveridge, you have to play multiple positions to get a game sort of thing. So could be something one to watch, and players could get a massive increase and a massive decrease if that's the case as well. I also had the Frio and the Saints game, which was looked like it was all one-way traffic at the start, but Frio really worked their way back into the game. I thought it was Luke Ryan's season all day long when they had Brennan Cox, or I think it was Brennan Cox, come into the team, but then was a late out, and I thought it was all over for Luke Ryan, but he actually had a pretty good game, so I was going to say put a buy low on him, but I'd be holding on for now because he actually turned up in the Supercoach format, so leave it for now. Nat Fyfe played the entire second half forward. He absolutely was braining it in the first half. Whether it was a management thing from that ham bone injury the week before, or it was to give Brayshaw more time in the midfield, I'm not too sure. So certainly one to watch. But Brayshaw, he started off slow, but worked really well into the game. Again, high time on ground as well. And my question to you gentlemen, do you know who the third string ruck is at Fremantle?
Lloyd Meek.
Lloyd Meek, or isn't Scott Jones still on their list?
I didn't see Jones, but I saw Meek pop up. So, yeah, Sean Darcy got a bit of a concussion, and Rory Lobb had a bit of a foot issue, but Rory Lobb played through and actually played quite well. So, one to watch if you do need a ruckman next week, then Meek might be an option going forward.
There was a photo of him that came out in the Frio Twitter account, and Lloyd Meek looks like a mountain. I won't be surprised. He looks huge. I'm really excited to see him play.
Stato, why don't you take us through the Eagles and the Crows?
Most certainly. Rob has a new phone, so we can call everyone and tell him how good he is. Seriously holds up the mantle for a tier two ruck along with English. Both their running power means they are such good value in draft league. So I'm predicting next year that we'll see them both go off in the first three rounds. So we've got the big three Gs and potentially higher in startup keepers because they're such good value. They're the two next tier big ruckmen. With exception to one tag target, mids are going to score really well against the Crows. No surprise, like Kelly and Redden had their best games for the season. So stream midfielders against the Crows. And last but not least, apologies to Stevie Fizz. Brody Smith is back. Probably too late for this one to look at to actually bring him in. They did have a bad run, so I think it was a 35 and a 45 in the first 2 weeks, and that's the opportunity that you could have had a buy low target on him. It's probably too late for that now, but I'm sure that you look across your league and have a look at those players that are having a bad run, and Rory Sloane is certainly one of those right now, and that's when you've got to hit and do the buy low. So Rory Sloane, buy low. Look what happens to a premium when their form comes back. They start scoring just like Brody Smith did.
And you can throw Matt Crouch in that as well. Had a good couple of weeks as well.
Absolutely.
Cam, the Demons and the Gold Coast Suns.
Yeah, first thing to note is I'm not sure I'm going to be able to watch a Suns game with the sound on anymore. The frothing from the commentary team on Isaac Rankin was immense. Absolutely great to see him on the park. His first two goals were amazing, but geez, the commentary box was filled with pure ejaculate by the end. And then the next one.
Can you imagine if Matt Rowe played in that game as well? Jesus Christ.
Fiorini is a flog. Fiorini. Stewie, you won't give him any tog. Fiorini. Blew a chance to win the game. Fiorini. He's going back to the twos again.
So he had a good game, did he?
Yeah, he's on fire.
It is roll with him, isn't it? Come in for Rao, you think he's going into that inside role, and Greenwood took it.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, yep, absolutely. And speaking of Greenwood, yeah, it does look like he's going to be the big beneficiary of Matt Rao getting out, backing up his impressive game from last week with 103 AFL fantasy and 126 super coach. On the back of increased time on ground, actually, as well. So he was mid to low 70% time on ground, and he's pushed that up to mid to high 80s in the last 2 weeks as a result. Like with most tackling players, take it with caution. As we've discussed before, high tackle counts will lead to pretty severe variance through the year, but signs are looking good for Greenwood as he exclusively lives around the ball and doesn't seem to split much of his time forward.
Is there any chance of Darcy McPherson rolling through that midfield, or is he just purely a lockdown forward now this year?
Yeah, I'm thinking lockdown forward for the long term.
Yeah, I just thought in the back of my mind he might have been someone to roll through that midfield, but it looked like it was Greenwood, Swallow, and whoever else, or Miller as well. So,
correct. Yeah. Like,
fair enough. Stato, the Bombers and North Melbourne.
Welcome to the midfield, Darcy Parrish. Despite only limited rotation, it certainly did help his scoring, pumping out a 72, his highest score of the year, and still a buy low option. With Stringer out and Dylan Shiel being offered 2 weeks, it should mean that he will get great opportunities over the next month. And you would also think that if he performs well enough, he might actually eventually keep a midfield role, because I think he's bloody well good enough. And I don't really understand the reason why they're avoiding it. There will be a reason. But hopefully he gets a chance to prove he's correcting what they think is wrong with his game. Essendon game plan suits their defenders, and the kickers are the go. So Ridley, Saad and McKenna are the ones to target.
McKenna's out with a fractured finger.
Wow, there you go.
Yeah, fractured his finger, will have surgery. But he could be like Tom Lynch and play, who knows?
Yep. Yeah, that's a fair call. When he's back, he's the one to actually look on the waiver wire, especially if he misses a week. When he comes back, make sure he's in your team. He's going to score well. And last but not least, Goldie still going strong, and the tall options up forward are not working, even though it does give him a rest. Don't panic for a Goldie owner. They should go back to a true forward, not a ruck forward, in the coming weeks. Expect Larky in for Campbell next week.
No, I was going to ask, yeah, how much ruck time did Campbell actually have? Not much, or?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. Yeah, I didn't see much of that game. That's why I asked. In the first games of the Sunday games, I checked out Port Adelaide and GWS, and it was happy days if you're a Houston owner, because he was playing purely in the gut and absolutely smashing it. Coming out after halftime, and what does Ken Hinckley do? He throws him in defence. You fucking idiot of a coach. You have your guy absolutely braining it, and it let GWS actually back into the game, and it didn't cost him the win, but it certainly almost did. So if you've got a guy playing well, you leave him in that position, I would have thought. Cam Sutcliffe came in for his first game for the year and was actually doing a pretty good job in tagging Lachie Whitfield. But as soon as Sutcliffe went off injured, it was Lachie Whitfield's season. He was running around doing whatever the hell he wanted to do. So pretty lucky there if you're a Whitfield owner. And Cornelio, he's a really interesting one for me. Ended up scoring pretty well in the end, but he's someone you might be able to throw a nibble at. Owners might be a bit upset with him the way he's scoring, and like he won't be a buy low, but you might be able to get him for a pretty fair trade price. He is still rolling forward, had a couple of shots on goals as well, but someone you could definitely target if you're looking to bolster your midfield, because as we know, GWS are a class unit and they are going to get it together and just start rolling over teams going forward. And Aiden Corr, he's one that's interested me over the last few weeks. Now, we know as Heath Shaw's coming to the end of his career, but it seems like Corr's the one now taking in the kick-ins, and he's going to be that one to take that Heath Shaw role.
He's a miss. He's a miss.
Mm.
We miss
But I think maybe going next year, because Heath Shaw's been that sweeper guy taking the marks and kicking it out of defence, whereas I think they're sort of training Aiden Corr to be in that role for next year. So he could be a bit of a sleeper target in for your defence next year. But he's actually going pretty well this year as well.
And what's really slipped under the radar is actually quite a high draft pick. But because there's never been that much hype about him, we've just seen him as a little closed-down defender, never really a scoring option. So this has sort of come from nowhere. But the reality is, if you did your homework previously, you'll be watching him waiting for a role change. It's happened, and those that have grabbed him have got an absolute bargain.
And I think everyone was looking at Cumming. Everyone was kind of waiting for Cumming to take the role, and then all of a sudden Aiden Corr, who I think is like 24, comes out and just, you know, from nowhere and gets the role.
Gets the role, and yeah, absolutely. And Toby Green, he's a gun. And my boy, Perryman, love him.
Oh, hey, my boy.
Stato, take us through the shit show that was the Tigers and the Swans.
Yes, it wasn't the greatest spectacle that's ever been on a football field, that's for sure. But the fact is, Hooley out means Jaden is not short of getting the stats. Take a note of this for Keeper League. So once Hooley retires, Jaden Short is going to be the king of scoring in that Richmond defensive line. Buy now and hope the owner does not listen to us. JPK has a knee issue. This will change the inside mix at the Swans. So watch selection, as we know with Fiorini. Just because someone gets named in the team doesn't mean they're going to get inside mid-time. But there's going to be a bargain coming off the waiver wire. My first instinct will it be Hewitt, but whether they still want to play him in a defensive role or not, or change Ryan Clark to do that. But there will be someone that really takes up a lot of inside midfield time, and there'll be obviously another midfielder coming from outside the squad. So keep your eye on the waiver wires and, of course, team selection. And last but not least, there is a bargain basement of magnificent players, magnificent scorers in the Richmond outfit. With five out, there is people getting new roles. Now, just understand that there's players like Liam Baker, who scored a BCB ton. Jack Graham, who was just under the BCB ton. Both with very low ownerships, and they are available. Picked them both up this week. I got an 80 and a 76 in my Keeper League this week from those two, and there are plenty more. So heaps of bargains floating around with Richmond. Understand that most of them may be just for that month, 5 or 6 games at best. But the reality is, bank those wins.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And Cam, I know we're recording on the Sunday night. We're only about a quarter into the Doggies and Blues, but anything of interest in that first quarter?
Well, I mean, the main thing of interest is that Carlton are winning. That's really got me a little bit confused. And all of a sudden, up is down and left is right. Otherwise, Bailey Smith is turning it back on again. So if you were lucky enough to maybe get a buy low on him the last couple of weeks, you'd be pretty happy with the return. And that's kind of about it. A couple of little niggles to Patrick Cripps and Tom Williamson at the moment, but they're still both playing.
All right, keep moving on. We'll get into the waiver wires. And when we do talk about waiver wires, we use Ultimate Footies ownership of 65% or less, just to give those in deeper leagues a bit more of a chance. Stato, why don't you kick us off with your waiver wire pickups for this week?
Yes, one I just mentioned before, Jack Graham, midfielder for Richmond, only owned by 58% of leagues. With so many out, he has his chance to establish himself in the team. He's played plenty before, 22 years of age. We know he has the ability to score and is a productive inside midfielder. I think last year he scored a 150. Next one, Sam Simpson. We know through Cam's report that he got a role because Cupper were injured, but he put his hand up. And that means when opportunities come, he'll get his shot. Only 28% own. Surprised everyone with a ton. And yes, that was because of the injuries, but the boy can play. Next, we've mentioned him before already in the pod as well, Cam Rayner, forward for Brisbane, scored a 77 and looked like he was just about to tear the game apart. So this boy's got some real talent, number one draft pick in his third year, only owned by 45% of leagues. And a 77 is actually equivalent to a 95 BCB, so that's a great game. And one for keeper leagues, a defender for Hawthorn named Will Day, despite a very light frame, showed a willingness to be hard at the footy and very classy by foot, owned by only 17% of teams and scored a 58 on debut. Very impressive. And one we're watching tonight, just took a mark as we speak. He's getting a fair bit of midfield time, but linked as a forward. And that's Matthew Kennedy, who is only 8% owned. So one to look at a stream if he's going to continue an inside mid role at Carlton.
Cam, what have you got?
Had Oscar Allen at 62% owned. Two really impressive weeks in both formats, 81 and 85 AFL Fantasy and 117, 110 Supercoach. It's been against pretty awful teams, the Swans last week and the Crows this week, but they head home to play Frio next week with that undersized defence, so he could be worth a look. He also gets up and around the ground, which is necessary for a key forward to score well this year. All the Richmond boys, as Stato mentioned, Jack Graham, Liam Baker and the likes are all worth picking up. Will Snelling, 40% owned, scored really well this week with the 82 AFL Fantasy and 102 Supercoach, spending time on the wing while Langford was sitting in the forward line. So well worth a look whilst Stringer is out. Kane Farrell, 22% owned, had a great game on the wing this week. Definitely won't continue scoring those big numbers. And he'll definitely give up his spot to Xavier Dersma when he's back, but maybe worth a stream this week as he's listed as a forward.
Fair enough. Yeah, I had Sam Simpson, Cam Rayner, Oscar Allen as well. And for those who read the late week pickup article, mentioned Darcy Moore. He is still floating around in 36% of teams. Knocked up the Supercoach a ton again this week and scored 80 in the AFL Fantasy format. So definitely worth picking up in your team. So he's been averaging around the 60, so been around the 80 mark before coronavirus. So pretty handy pickup. And Sharon Berg as well is floating around there, 47% of teams as well. They are my waiver wire pickups as well. We have questions, lots of questions this week. We'll get straight into it on the Twitters. AJS Hawker asks, Lipinski, Greenwood and Parfitt are all in my Keeper League forward line. Who, if any, keep forward status? If mid only next year, who is worth keeping? He's leaning towards Parfitt and Lipinski.
Parfitt won't keep forward status.
Greenwood won't keep forward status.
I think Lipinski will struggle as well, to be honest.
That's going to be line ball.
Yeah, he's the most likely.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's... that's a tough one, but yeah, that's how we all see it. We see it down the line that way. Clarky asks, any good buy low mids in redraft right now who have roll in the guts? As we mentioned, Jack Graham there from the Tigers. And there might be Georgie Hewitt or an Ollie Florent now that JPK has gone down with that medial ligament. So just have a look at what their availability on the waiver wire is there.
As Stato mentioned earlier as well, look for your underperforming premiums like Rory Sloan could be a good buy low as well.
Yeah. And Oscar Klaas, he asks, is Lambert an option with all the Tigers out? Absolutely. He's, even like last week when they started going down, he was brilliant and actually brilliant again today in the wet. So that was good there. Shane Jeeves, hello Jeeves, asks us, with Josh Kennedy out possibly for weeks, who becomes the in and under midfielder besides Parker? And do you think Mills will have more mid time?
No, I don't think Mills will have more mid time. But I honestly believe that it'll be Hewitt. I think there is no doubt that Mills is playing that role so well that he'll retain that defensive role.
Fair enough. And one quick question before we introduce our special guest. Joey Jojo asks, is Simkin on track to be the greatest breakout of all time?
A surprise breakout too, just quietly. So yes, not too bad. When you consider the shortened quarters, he is averaging over 100. I don't think anyone would have thought that was in their wildest dreams when they're picking up. They were probably hoping for a 70.
Absolutely. And before we get to the Facebook questions, he has joined us live from the great Western Victoria. Stevie Fizz, how you doing, buddy?
And that's the funniest comment he's ever made, just quietly.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
Doesn't want to talk. He's gone mute.
Hey!
Hey! Hey! July really getting to him.
Fucking Jesus. What's going on?
We're just getting through some questions.
Oh, Jesus. You plowed through the show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like I'm ploughing through this.
Ease off.
No. This is the Eden Vale alcohol remove Shiraz, which I've discovered is actually just grape juice. I've been had by the bigwigs at Non-Alcoholic Beverage Co.
There you go.
I must admit, I've never, ever got to the level where I think, well, I'm not drinking alcohol tonight. How can I find something that tastes like alcohol that hasn't got alcohol in it? It's never entered my mind.
Doesn't taste like alcohol.
Why not just a fruit juice?
I thought it'd be better, but it's not. It's terrible.
Is it like the 0% beer or whatever it is? Just
0% beer. The 0% beer I can get behind.
Okay. Yeah. I've never actually had 0% beer.
The Carlton Zeros are all right.
Okay. Just on the straight bourbon for the amount of beer. Taking it up a notch.
Just drink a Passiona. Like it's like a, you know, craft what was beer. That? Batuta. Yeah, it's a craft beer.
Finish off the Facebook questions. Taylor Q asks, he doesn't ask. Seb Ross, what has gone wrong? Cam, you are the man who has much disdain for St Kilda. Why don't you take that one?
Oh, he's just awful. at the moment. Like, it's his role, I think. But I think it's variance with the St Kilda mids in general.
Oh, like, hashtag other, variance.
Yeah, hashtag. Well, we've got Steve on now, so we can use those sort of things. I'm a bit cagey on St Kilda mids going forward, would be a Steve comment, I think.
Well, they've brought in a couple over the last couple of years in Hanbury and Zach Jones, and it's not, you know, you don't want to add more of these dudes to the pot.
Yeah, and they're all the same. Like, they're all the same player.
Yeah, similar. So I think Hunter Clark might be a good buy low. He's had a couple ordinary-ish weeks. Like, Ben Long gets injured, another, you know, might be a good, good time for him. Oh, suspended, sorry, not injured.
Yeah. Callan Ward's brother, Stuart, asks, is Shai Bolton and Jack Higgins the real deal or not?
I think Jack Higgins might be. Shai Bolton needs to have that run through the midfield, so he's going to have a really good month. When he's just a forward, he can go missing. Where Jack Higgins is just a ball magnet, unfortunately, I don't think he'll ever really get midfield roles, but he can find the footy. So therefore, he's real, because no matter where he plays, he's just going to keep finding it. He's not one of these people that finds a lot of the footy in the midfield, goes elsewhere and just can't find it. And there are plenty of players like that. Cam sung a song about one earlier on.
And Matthew James Schweitzer asks, has there been a worse round from the umpires in the last decade? I think it's just an overreaction to what Clarko said the other week, where they've gone, right, this is the rule, let's officiate it too much, but they've just got to bring it back and find a happy medium. I think it'll sort itself out in the next week or two with the holding the ball rule, if I think that's what Matthew's alluding to.
Cool.
Good one.
Okay. Oh, no, I thought you guys were adding something. That's fine. Fuck yes.
How are your waivers? Did you have waivers?
Yeah.
Yes, we did. We ran through...
Did you have the superior Oscar?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hard to believe we got there.
Yes, we did. I think we all had Cam Rayners, Sam Simpson, Oscar Allen, and a few of the Richmond boys.
Is Sam Simpson real?
Nah.
I think it might be with Narkle and Duncan injury for a couple of weeks.
I didn't have him in my list, and I'm hesitant to bring him in.
What about yeah, I it feels pretty Dean Polo, 3 goals, 27 touches or whatever the hell he had.
Let's go with Bo Mustin, because that was worse.
So no George Hewitt?
We mentioned him in the questions. We had questions about the
who's going to take JPK's role.
Snelling, 40%?
Yep.
Shazgoat?
Yep.
All right. You don't even need me anymore.
Yeah. No, that's what we're thinking.
We have learned.
Yeah.
Hate to have this conversation with you, Steve.
It's been a rough month, I'm not going to lie. It's not even halfway over.
Anything else to add, lads?
Don't get sucked into the Eden Vale alcohol remove charades. The people are smarter than me. Look at the tagline on it. Best of Earth and Science.
Oh,
it's
no.
Not. It's not no. The best of Earth and Science.
That's your red flag.
Yeah, if you ever have to have science in the name when it's not actually a science, you're in trouble.
Wait, viticulture is not a science?
No, if a true science is a true science. Science solves problems for us. But I was more referring to that you look at a religion and you include the word science, it's not going to end well. Or start well. Or have a good middle. Or a good history.
It's been a lot of bad decisions. Probably me coming on the pod was one of them.
All good. If there is nothing else to add, thanks for listening, everyone. If you want to hit us up with a question, you can check us out on Facebook.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.